This is Halloween edition, Woods and Water, South Carolina. Y'all just deal with it for a few minutes. Actually, a few seconds. Less than a minute. The best Halloween.
Are you going to let it play?
Ever. I am. It's building up to it right here. Here you go. Nobody move now.
Dad. Stop.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's... Well, this was your idea.
Yeah, not you dancing and all that.
Ooh. Well, I could get up and...
No.
I can put my headset down if you want me to.
No, stop.
It is the spooky edition of Woods and Water, South Carolina, at least for the bumper music. Did not run into this through Global Music Rights, so nobody complains too much. Figure one day we'd get away with it. But anyway, coming to you from Studio D.
D?
This will be D. Uh-uh. A is the radio station.
B is home.
Yeah, C was the farm.
Oh, okay.
And this will be D. This is, Studio D, first time. Almost 360 glass windows. I like this. 90, 180, what is this? 90, 180, 270? Yeah, 270 glass windows. Vaulted ceilings. It's nice.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a little echo.
In there. Yeah, get a little echoey here. Hope that doesn't come through too bad on the thing. But it is Halloween, and, it's fun. It's fun. We spent a lot of serious time on the show. We got some serious stuff to talk about today, too, along with a pretty good calendar. But, it's kind of fun to have. Just enjoy it. So,
what are you going to do for Halloween, movies. Daddy?
Halloween packing.
Yeah, that is true.
Packing. Oh, well, I am actually going to be on Real Foot Lake.
I thought you were leaving
in Tennessee.
On Sunday.
I am. Well, okay. Well, I'll be flying.
Okay. Well,
and we'll be at the lake by then. going to a writer's conference up on Real Foot Lake. Crappy fishing. We have been crappy fishing some.
Some?
Yeah.
You fish a lot.
Early on, we had the lake down at the hunt club to fish on. We did a lot because it's easy. I mean, it's a minnow swimming under a cork or throw a little jig. Mm-hmm. But I've never done it seriously. I've never, I've gone over them bass fishing. Mm-hmm. And if you ever look at a tree and you see the skeleton outline of a tree, and then at the very top you see what looks like Christmas ornaments, those are crappy. And I am going to put the ultralights on the boat.
Oh, my goodness.
And the next time I roll over one, I'm pulling them out. Sorry. We will go from bass fishing to crappie fishing in like 5 seconds.
That's fine. I like crappie. Crappie tastes good.
I went over one the other day. I was up on the Kiwi River. And it
when
was,
were you at the
you
Kiwi River?
Me. Well, it was the day that we took senior pictures. And y'all came back. And then I stayed up there and went down to Kiwi instead of Jocassee.
Yeah.
And I went over one tree and it was serious. It stuck about 12 feet off the bottom. And it was like nothing except little branches and stuff all the way down. And you got up to about 8 feet. And it looked like Christmas.
We like Christmas.
It's full. I was talking to Brandon Cobb the other day, and he was saying the same thing. He said, I'm only on them on the docks. When they get up shallow in the springtime, that's when he likes to crappie fish.
Wow.
And he said, but I've never really done it when they're deeper, So I'm hoping to learn a lot. I'm really hoping to learn a lot. I mean, Real Foot Lake is, as a kid, I'm reading Outdoor Life and Field and Stream. I mean, it was like duck hunting mecca, and I always wanted to go to Real Foot Lake. I was just like, I want to go duck hunt there. Then in the 80s, they started burning blinds on Real Foot Lake. It's kind of like a duck hunter's, feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of toned that down, and I haven't really, but it was formed by a earthquake.
Oh.
Most lakes formed by dams.
Mm-hmm.
This was formed by an earthquake.
Imagine.
So going to be staying at Blue Bank Resort and eating lots of good food, according to my friend Ron.
How long are you going to be there?
4 days.
Dang.
Yeah.
All 4 days without going deer hunting.
I know. Fishing's good, though.
Oh.
So anyway.
Anyway, yes, horror movies.
Yeah, horror movies. Okay, so I'm not a horror movies aficionado. About the meanest thing I've ever done, like scaring people, is one time Jordan was out on the back porch in the swing.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went around the front yard and pulled out my coyote call and started howling like a coyote in the front yard. And I mean, it wasn't like 1.4 seconds for the back door slam. She was inside the house. So that's like the meanest thing, or the scariest thing I've ever done to somebody. But you like horror movies, and you got,
I do.
You got like 2 minutes. So give us the horror movie rundown.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of horror movies out there. I mean, what do you want me?
I don't know. What are your favorite horror movies?
My favorite. Probably any one of the Insidious movies.
See, I have no clue.
Or the first Conjuring. The second Conjuring was bad. It was just dumb. The first one, that was the first ever horror movie I ever watched. And I watched it at a birthday party. And it was at night. And we were upstairs. She was getting ready to move. So all of her furniture from up in her, like, bonus room was gone. And so we were all sitting on the floor, and I had gone out to go get food or something in the kitchen, and her mom came around the corner and scared the living daylights out of me. And I was like, Miss Wright, are you kidding me right now? I was like, this is not the time, because she was my first horror movie. So that one's always good. Yeah. But the Insidious ones are probably like a close second. Yeah.
Okay. I will remember the Thing. It was a 1970s, maybe. I remember watching it. It was a bunch of high school kids.
Oh, gosh.
The Thing. I remember the German Shepherd got infected with the Thing. And it's sitting there looking at looking at you. And then its face splits open. And the Thing comes out its face.
See, that's not horror, though.
I don't know.
Horror is like invisible, like the doors opening and shutting and all that. Oh, Paranormal Activity. Now that's one that'll get you thinking, because it is way too real. It is way too real.
How did you get this bug and I didn't?
My friends.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably it. Because nobody in the family watches them.
No, nobody in the family watches them all. So yeah, pretty much everybody else in our family just runs for cover.
Yeah.
When a scary movie comes out. And I never got into the Halloween, the Jasons, the hockey mask stuff.
No.
Scream.
No.
I don't know. I mean,
what was it? Halloween was like the big one.
That was the big ones. There were like 13 of them.
Yeah. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
See, I've seen the only like old horror movie that I've seen has been It. Like the original It.
Yeah.
And that one was like kind of cheesy. The new one, though, scarred me for life. That thing was so creepy. I don't do clowns. I really don't do clowns.
Oh, it's got scary clowns in it?
Yeah, It is a clown. And he pops out of a sewer and takes the little boy's boat away from him. It's sad, but it's freaky.
Sorry.
The little boy has a little paper boat.
Gosh, see, we're getting too much detail now.
It's too much to explain. It scared me to death.
And you got the original would be Ghostbusters.
I have seen that one. Yeah.
That's
a good
one. Good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But, you know, you can't go through Halloween and not talk about Thriller.
No.
Vincent Price, Michael Jackson. The original was like 13 and a half minutes long.
I remember watching the music video with you, and Mom got mad because you let me watch it.
I know.
That's where it started. It's your fault. Your fault. You exposed me to the first ever horror thing I've ever seen. Those zombies dancing around the street. That was scary.
Oh, my goodness. There you go, folks. Once again, it's my fault.
Sorry, Dan.
Okay, well, y'all enjoy the show, and I'll collect my ego off the floor. The foulest stench is in the air. The funk of 40,000 years. And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver. For no mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller.
I was vibing with this until you started dancing.
I'm not dancing. my monster I'm not. From his slab began to rise. You know, this is like the number one. If you go on and look at Halloween music, this is like the number one.
Well, of course. It's an original.
It is.
It's between that one and Thriller.
Those actually, Thriller's like number three or four. Yeah, you'd be surprised.
That's like an insult. Dad, I had an idea that popped in my head.
This could be dangerous, y'all.
You should dress up as something and fly on the plane and scare people.
I don't think so.
You should go get one of those masks.
No.
You could say, I am wearing a mask. No. You're not wearing a mask.
I am not. I do not want to get on TSA's radar. Oh, I do not want to end up on a viral video and get dragged off a plane by a bunch of burly TSA agents. That is not.
Just scrolling through Instagram. Oh, look, there's my dad.
There's my dad, yeah.
Oh, that wasn't a good idea.
It was my daughter's idea. It wasn't mine.
You know, Dad, this is my third year in a row that I am doing Harley Quinn from the Suicide Squad for Halloween.
Kind of stuck in a rut there, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not creative anymore. I just look at everyone past years and I've been like, okay, I can improve that. I can improve that too. And it just fits my personality.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Scary woman. Okay, I got that. I got that no problem whatsoever.
I wasn't meaning scary. I was kind of meaning like, I don't know.
No, you're scary.
Hey, I'm not scary.
Of course, you can't hit the broadside of a barn with a gun. You should have known I was not going to. I was not going to not say anything about that. It's okay. We all miss.
At least I wasn't the first one to miss. I'm throwing my brother-in-law under the bus. but then he did come out with, you know, a great day the next day. Yeah. But it's okay. It's fine.
It's okay.
I
don't miss. You got out of sorts at Cade's Cove looking at all those big bucks. you were out of breath and shaking and all that, looking at the last November went up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. You called me. I mean, I could tell you were just like.
Even my first deer, I did not have buck fever.
No. But you were calm, cool, and collected on that one.
I was not this last
watch
one.
This it's one.
Been. It's been, I didn't fill a tag last year. I filled one the year before.
Yeah.
But I have not seen a deer from a stand in probably a year. And I had three of them.
You have. You saw some last year. They were just, you couldn't get good shots last year. The couple times you saw deer.
They were like forever away.
Yeah. Or running past you.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say we don't fill a tag, it's not like we didn't have chances to not fill a tag. We shoot what we eat,
right.
And we eat what we shoot. So therefore, we don't go out there and just mow down a bunch of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very selective on the bugs.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, we really should take a couple of does early in the year. Mm-hmm. Instead, we do it backwards. We look for
bucks early in the year.
We can't find a doe because they're all, you know, crawled in a hole and covered up during daylight hours. But anyway,
I'm super selective about my bucks because especially the property we hunt, we don't get a lot of big bucks. And so when I see, you know, a cow horn or something like that, I'm just kind of like, okay, we'll give you a couple more years. You'll get bigger.
And I don't know why we save them.
But anyway,
it just makes you feel better.
Yeah. But so I had three does come up on me at one time and I was kind of discombobulated and I did miss, but there's just the beginning of the season. It'll be fun. I'll redeem myself.
It's first November, sweetheart. It's not the beginning of the season anymore. That started September 15th.
We're gonna take it as the beginning of the season because then I won't be stressed about it.
She is such a good sport, y'all. She was so down on herself after that. And it was just like, I'm just not even going to go there. You know, I'm just going to leave it alone the next morning, though. She was back to being Taylor. And, you know, and she started analyzing like we all do. Mm-hmm. You were in that analysis mode and you just didn't want to talk about it.
So we were randomly standing in the kitchen and nobody said anything.
Nope.
It was absolutely nothing. I said, you know what? I bet it was because I propped it up on my arm on my stand and not the actual stand.
Yeah. So anyway, those of you that missed, you're not alone.
No, you're not.
You're not alone. We need to talk about something other than Halloween and scary movies.
Do the calendar?
We could do the calendar and then start with the others. We do have some. Well, I'll save it. But let's. Okay, calendar. Where's my calendar at?
I don't know.
I stuck it over here somewhere.
Don't ask me.
Is this it? This is it. I've got it right here.
Good job, Dad.
Yeah, I've got it. I got like four things.
Do you?
Yeah, and you've got some stuff too, right?
I have four too. Look at those. Okay. So who wants to start? Okay. Friday, November 5th. Northwest Baptist Church is hosting a wild game dinner by donation only. They're going to have a guest speaker, Reverend Robert Fleming of First Baptist Church of Cross Hill. And you have to RSVP by November 1st. You can enter to win your 12-gauge shotgun. And it is all the proceeds go to benefit the Christmas Families Program, which provides local families with Christmas gifts, food, and help with utilities. And so it sounds like a great time. So y'all can go and RSVP for that on their website.
Food.
Wild game.
Wild game food. When am I coming back?
Daddy, you're out of luck.
Fifth? No, I'll be back then.
Will you?
Yeah.
It's in Traveler's Rest.
It's in Traveler's Rest.
Not too far from us.
Okay. November the, let's see, 6th, 7th. Oh, there's one. I forgot that one. Okay. The 5th Annual Triple G Outdoors Banquet, Saturday, November the 6th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Smoky Way Farm, which is at 2172 Antioch Drive in Santee, South Carolina. Seafood dinner will be served.
Oh.
And admission, 40 for singles, 70 for couples. You know, they got sponsor packages if you want it. They got auction items. As always, there's wildlife prints, fishing trips, guns, hunts, lots of extras. And if you look up Triple G Outdoors, you can get involved in a 10-day seafood dinner. That sounds good, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's Santee. Do we have anything to go to Santee?
We
can see Ryan Bowles.
Go fishing again.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
Go eat at Captain's Quarters again.
Food.
That's a good place to eat. Food. We're hungry. If you
this isn't going to help either. Hunting Heritage Banquet is going to be in Edgefield the 5th, which is Friday.
Yes.
And it's going to be the Edgefield Local Chapter, and it starts at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the Palmetto Shooting Complex. We could go to that one.
It's another cool place, the Palmetto Shooting Complex.
I'm down. It's still food.
Everything's going to revolve around food.
Oh, we're getting off on mine. I don't know about yours. Is yours getting off food?
Yeah, mine's getting off food.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
We're good.
So SCDNR is doing a saltwater fishing clinic on November the 6th. From 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock. It's at Morgan Park, which is East Bay Street in Georgetown, South Carolina. And it's free. So go to the DNR website and get registered up for this one. Hang on a second. What does it say on the second page?
Oh,
yeah. There's lots of things. It'll teach skills on how to tie fishing knots, how to rig a rod and reel, casting. And the best part is everyone will get to try their hand at fishing. Kids from ages 4 all the way up to adults are welcome. You must RSVP. That's what I said before. What to bring? Dress is casual. Check the weather. All fishing supplies will be provided. Let's see. Oh, but if you're over 16, you must have a valid South Carolina saltwater fishing license, which is $10. And the clinic's free. There you go.
Back the Red, White, and Bully Bass Fishing Tournament is going to be on Lake Russell November 6th. They're going to put it at the Highway 72 ramp. It's a $50 entry fee per boat. It doesn't say what time to be there, but you can contact Rusty Nichols at 864-554-9267. And this one, the catch for this one is there has to be a firefighter, police officer, or paramedic on each boat. This goes to honor the men and women that risk their lives every day. And it's put on by Palmetto State Bassmasters.
Waccamaw Ducks Unlimited Brickyard Bash at Thompson Farm, November the 6th, 5 to 10. It's Thompson Farm and Nursery in Conway, South Carolina. And they're going to have, of course, all the good stuff. It's a brand new event. Live music featuring Taylor Richardson, Justin Anderson, and Kevin Nichols. And all the good stuff that goes along with the Ducks Unlimited Banquet.
Warbirds over Monroe is going to be at the Charlotte Monroe Executive Airport November 6th and 7th. Daddy, control yourself.
I'm trying.
For the 2021 Air Show. That could be fun.
You know who's going to be there?
Swamp Fox?
Swamp Fox.
How'd I know that?
And I believe Quicksilver is going to be there too. And I believe Jim Tobel with Korean War veteran.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. So Swamp Fox is a P-51.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
Quicksilver is a P-51. And Jim Tobel's Korean War vet is a Corsair.
Yep.
This is a big deal. And every once in a while, I don't mind going north of the border.
Yeah.
But anyway, anything else on that one?
Nope.
It's just, man, if you're a runway junkie like me, and even more if you're a World War II or since, you just, man, mm-hmm. can't pass up an opportunity to hear a Merlin engine. Mm-hmm. Or one of them big old radials. Either one, I'm good with. Final one for the day. Chapin Baptist Church and the Men's Ministry present a special class, venison processing, field to freezer. The instruction will focus on skinning the deer, breaking the deer into specific muscle groups, freezer preparation techniques. It says, please bring a cut-proof glove for the non-dominant hand if you want to do hands-on cutting. When? It's Sunday, November the 7th, 2021, at the CBC Pavilion from 3 to 5 p.m., and, oh, they're saying, oh, wow, potential future sessions, sausage making and cooking, freezer to table.
Ooh.
So, again, Chapin Baptist Church, Men's Ministry, Venison Processing, November the 7th, 3 to 5.
Is it just me, or have you been seeing a bunch of big deer on social media?
There have been a bunch of big deer. And it was funny. Somebody asked the question, is it corn piles or is it the buck limits?
Valid. Yep.
We went from unlimited bucks in the lower part of the state to five.
Yep.
And in the upper part of the state, we've gone from five unlimited to three unlimited and 2-point restricted. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's
a mystery.
But yeah, there have been a lot of big deer and a lot of many, many points here. Mm-hmm. You don't think about this one as a Halloween song, but it's on the list.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Boogeyman. Casey and Sunshine Man.
At Stop Dancing.
Y'all hang on. Hack more Woods and Water, South Carolina. We will get something just, you know, meaningful here. When I hear this music, of course I think of Dan Aykroyd and the other guys in the cast, but the Pillsbury Doughboy.
What?
Well, when they're up on the roof, and one of them, the demon or whatever, a ghoul or whatever, is reading their minds and deciding what the enemy is, and one of them goes, I say it was Dan Aykroyd, I think, goes, I'm sorry, it was the first thing that I thought about.
Oh,
and here comes the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, he is skyscraper tall.
Uh-huh.
And he comes, well, he's got the mean face on him. You never seen the Pillsbury Doughboy without a smile, because you poke him and he smiles. And he comes
on. Get a grip.
And then they focus all those, uh-huh, whatever those weapons, the beams or whatever, uh-huh, on it, and it blows up, and it's like, you got
cinnamon rolls.
Marshmallows. Cinnamon rolls. Gosh.
That's the first thing I think about. I think of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
I see him blown all over and it's like marshmallows.
Marshmallows. I think we need sleep, Dad.
Oh, this has been a rough week, y'all. We're having fun. I hope y'all are laughing a little bit. If not with us, maybe at us.
You know? Either one is fine. As long
I
as
hope
we're
these
not
people, this is the last
ourselves.
One we've ever heard from them. oh, wow. Okay. We do have something outdoor related to talk to,
mm-hmm,
talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that when I first started this show, I remember back in 2014, Angelo Mack, my engineer and producer, who still does it today.
Shout out to you, Angelo. You're the best.
Yeah, you are the best, Angelo. You have... You taught me everything I know. You bailed me out of a bunch of jams along the way. And we appreciate you more than you know. So, yeah, shout out to Angela Mack at GTK in Greenville. But he told me, he said, we need a show. You need to record a show in case you ever, like, have a wreck on the way to the station on a Saturday or can't get in the studio or something in case you're not in. And so I did one. It was on safety. Mm-hmm. I did hunting safety, hiking safety, fishing safety. And we never used that show mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's gone now. But anyway, it was funny. I was thinking the other day, you know, we talked to Allison last week and we hit on a little bit of hiking safety, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is the time a lot of people are getting out, not only hiking, but hunting too. So we're going to do a little bit of both. Don't know if we'll get through all of it, but we'll try. And it's serious. Take it for what it is. And the good thing about it is if you're hearing it now, and you're making adjustments, and you're more prepared for the future.
Yep.
That's all we're trying to do. So anyway, go ahead. So we're going to head to what? Hiking safety first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So when you think of hiking.
Yes.
What do you think to put on your feet when you go?
I certainly don't think of flip-flops.
Yep.
Probably the worst thing. Oh, there's a chipmunk.
Where?
Right over there. See him?
Oh. They run with their little tails up.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Squirrel.
Easily distracted. But butterfly. hiking. Don't go hiking in flip-flops. They're comfortable. You might like them. Crocs the same way.
Oh.
Nope.
Don't insult Crocs.
I'm not insulting Crocs. I'm saying they're just not what you
no.
go hiking in.
No.
Good, you know, running shoes, I can see because a lot of people go running when they go hiking. Mm-hmm. But mainly closed-toed, lace-up.
With
to keep it for sliding.
With good grips.
Yeah. Good grips. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we've talked about this a little bit.
Yes.
The, you know, having a paper map versus using a GPS. But in this case, so they're both important.
Yeah. I mean, and they're both got their places. You know, if you're hiking in, like we said, at Riverbank Zoo on mm-hmm. the Saluda River Walk or whatever. I mean, you can use cell phone. You got plenty of bars, yeah. plenty of Caesar's Head. You might not have that much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep.
They both have their place.
Even like Triple Falls and
they very little that. Cell yeah. coverage up there.
And something we don't normally use a compass, but.
No, but and you need to learn how to use a map and compass there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just like you have a map and a compass and you put them together and they automatically tell you where to go.
Right.
There's a little bit of work there.
What do you think of bringing for yourself besides, you know, first aid kit and stuff like that when you start to feel hungry or when...
Water.
Uh-huh.
You need water.
Yep.
You need water for, hiking, for taking breaks and eating and stuff like that. But you need water because if you get, for some reason, you don't make it back that night, mm-hmm. water is very important.
Yep. What is it? Is it the body can go so long without food, but cannot go without water?
Yeah, you're like 7 or 8 days without food or something like that.
But you
only
can't
like 24
go,
to 48 yeah, hours without water.
Water.
So, and then, you know, there's so many different ways to carry water now. You got the camelbacks, you know, the fluid reservoirs that fit into a backpack. You got the little.
With the little.
Yeah, you got.
Thingy. We're both sitting here like
tube,
doing.
Yeah, like people can see us or something like that. Yeah, it comes over you. But anyway, it's like a little tube, got a little mouthpiece on it, and you can hike along and sip on it. Nagley bottles, mm-hmm. you know. I wouldn't necessarily say take a water bottle up there because you don't, then you're subject to leaving your water bottle at trash right. and stuff like that. So something reusable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had mentioned, you know, if you're there, if you don't make it back home that night, if something were to happen, like a water purifier is not a bad thing to take care of with you.
Life Straw mm-hmm. is the latest and greatest. I mean, when we go to Colorado, man, we've used iodine tablets and, oh, goodness gracious, water pumps with stone filters in them because out there you have to worry about brucellosis, which is beaver fever, mm-hmm. because most of the water you're getting is out of beaver ponds or rivers right. or whatever. But Life Straw is like the neatest thing. It's just a straw, and it's got a filter built into it, and they say they're good for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So as something just to throw in your day pack, your backpack, in case you run out of regular water and you need to drink stream water, pond water, whatever.
Right.
Life Straw is a good thing to have.
Another thing, when you're thinking about bringing snacks, well, you don't just think, oh, I'm just going to throw
Little Debbie's.
In. Yeah. Think of something calorie
yes.
packed.
I hate Nature Valley granola bars and that sort of stuff.
But There's a reason for them.
They are small, compact, and they are full of energy and calories.
And I found Clif Bars. Now, I don't remember. If you remember me, me and Dad went on a little adventure to one of the hotel's little food store thingies one time. And I was like, okay, I think it was for a tournament. And so I wanted to get something for breakfast in the morning because we were going to be up early and all that. And so I was like, I'll just get a granola bar. And I looked at all the ones. I was like, yeah, they're not that good. Well, I got a Clif Bar, and that thing was disgusting, but it made me feel full, and it had a bunch of good ingredients in it. So they're underrated. You just have to get past the taste.
Okay.
Get past the taste.
I guess if you're in survival mode, you can get past the taste.
Okay. When you think about what to wear, not knowing what the weather is going to be, what all do you think you would need to bring? If you're going on a couple days or even just like 2 days, what would be some of the things you'd want to bring?
I want something that wicks moisture away.
Mm-hmm.
From perspiration standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I want something that's fast drying in case I get wet crossing streams or brief rain shower. Mm-hmm. Lightweight rain gear is always good. And when I think about going like to Colorado elk hunting or, a camping trip where I'm living out of a day pack and tent camping, layers. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to prepare for nighttime temperatures. Yep. And 1 o'clock in the afternoon temperatures and weather, sunny, cloudy, snow, rain, whatever. So yeah, I want something that wicks, something that dries fast, and then a light rain gear, because if I'm hiking or whatever, I don't want parka's on.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking about too, the difference in, especially around here, even during the summer, early summer months, it can get a little chilly at night when goes down, and it can be 90 degrees in the afternoon.
That's it.
You just have to think ahead of what could happen, and you should be prepared.
A lot of that's planning for the time you're going to be out there, too. Mm-hmm. You shorts in June, yeah. Shorts in December, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some homeschool kids I've seen.
That is what I was about to say.
Shorts and no shoes in December, and that's okay. That's just their thing.
It's special.
Okay.
As far as safety items go, what are probably going to be on your top five?
Top five. I would have to say flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
See in the dark. Yep. Matches to start a fire.
Mm-hmm.
A noisemaker of some sort.
Yes.
Whistle, air horn. Emergency stuff. That's my top three. Do I have to have five?
No, those are
top three. Yeah, that's right. Some kind of flashlight, some kind of, matches or a magnesium bar. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
I'd probably say a multi-tool, too.
Multi-tool.
You're always going to need a knife, but you never know when you might need scissors or
you're exactly
something
right.
like that. So that's a good option, too.
That's a good option.
First aid kit is also very, very important.
And you can buy those lump sum.
Yes.
Lump sum, just one size fits all.
Mm-hmm. Sun protection.
Overlooked, and we're running out of time here on this one, but sunscreen, for your lips. Just think about hiking, the sun beating down, it's hitting that bottom lip. So, SPF 30 for your bottom lip. Mm-hmm. Sunscreen, sunglasses are another good one. Yep.
And hand in hand with that is a shelter, just in case something does happen.
Yeah, something really, it can be just a little tarp or something like that, just to keep the rain off of you if you need to. And here's another one you don't think about much, Superstition by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, gracious.
With.
Hey, kitty.
Stevie.
Yeah. Superstition ain't the way.
Hardly horrifying Halloween tune.
Hardly.
But
they're creepy. You know what was horrifying?
What?
My back just cracked.
Oh, God.
You ever have one of those stretches that just cracks all the way up your spine?
Yep.
That
the Addams Family.
I like the Addams Family.
I do, too. Used to watch them all the time as a kid.
You know what we didn't say, though, Dad?
Say when?
What movies we watched while we were at the farm hunting over the week.
Oh, if you don't have 28-1... in the upstate. I think it's a 46.1 and at the farm. It's Movies Channel, mm-hmm. our Movies Network, and it runs, oh my goodness, all the oldies. We watched a lot of old movies.
We did the old Medusa.
She's showing her age.
Yeah. When I cut her head off, it looks a little styrofoamish. So do her snakes.
I love that channel. It's one of the digital, just a regular digital channel. Mm-hmm. And but it's got Sunday Night Noir on it. They've been having like this Halloween. They had a Vincent Price day evening or something, and there were several others that were going on while we were watching it.
Mm.
Good stuff.
That's what we did when we were sitting there eating our Japanese
food and steaks and potatoes. We ate well.
We did eat well. We always eat well at deer camp.
Deer camp is fun.
Deer camp is very fun.
Let's see. Unbelievable sunrise and sunset, especially with that moon out.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though,
yes,
it was really nice. I mean, even though it kind of messes with the deer hunting a little bit, it's nice to have that moon up when you're walking to your stand at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Talk about a horrifying experience is when it's pitch black. And this is, okay, this is probably the scariest. I know there's no Sasquatches out there. There's nothing that can, I mean, there are black bears roaming around. Yeah. They're expanding their range and all. But every once in a while, you go into a stand, it's cold, it's clear, it's still as can be. I mean, there's no noise, mm-hmm. no wind. And the hair on the back of my neck just stands up, and I don't know why. It's like, is something watching me, or is it just my imagination? Yeah, it's a squirrel behind me. But one day, I will say, I had the scaredest I've ever been in the woods. It was one of those, it may have been in late October, had a tropical system coming through, so kind of like it was this week, mm-hmm. you know, kind of low clouds, scudding, wind blowing the tops of the trees, and I was down in a bottom. I'd walked down a trail and was down in a bottom. I was walking up the other side going towards a road that went through the trees and all. And the wind was blowing in the tops of the trees, but it was still where I was and all. It just, you know, yeah. And a coyote howled about 30 mm-hmm. yards behind me mm-hmm. in the dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, just lit me up. Seriously, I don't think my feet touched the ground for at least 130 yards. I mean, he only lit up once. He probably lay on his back laughing his butt off at the way I ran off from him. But, yeah, that was
the one time a coyote's ever turned into a hyena started laughing.
Yeah. But, yeah, saw a lot of critters. Mm-hmm. Foxes. I've got two coveys of quail, maybe a third covey hanging out. We heard whistles from five different places mm-hmm. over the weekend.
Yep.
Ecstatic about
after that first hunt when I missed that doe, I went the next no, I didn't go the next morning. I went the next night and then that morning and then the night after that, and I didn't see anything, but I made friends with a chipmunk.
Yes.
I witnessed my first ever chipmunk versus squirrel fight. That was fun. But there was something about, I think it was Saturday night, I hunt across a creek, and there's like a clearing up in front of me, and you know it's not going to the stand in the mornings, cuz kind of sketchy sometimes, but getting out sometimes sketchy too when you're getting out, you know, when it's pitch black and sometimes you can't see where you're going and you just don't know what's in the woods with you. Well, it was getting about the time I was going to get out of the stand and go hunt the field, and I just heard two low howls, and I was like, man, somebody's got a weird sounding hound dog over here. And right across the creek from me, I just a huge blob of coyotes just yipping and yapping and all that. And then I hear two shots, and they're still going and still going. And I just sat there and videoed it. And part of me was like, I sent it to my sister who's scared of coyotes. But I was sitting there and I just videoed it. I was like, okay, well, this is the time I get attacked by coyotes getting out of my stand. People will see it on my phone. That was like the only time, though, I think I've actually been scared to get out of my stand, I think, is with those coyotes. I just didn't know where they were. I couldn't see them.
Yep.
they sound eerie.
They do.
And so do screech owls, and I didn't understand what it was in the tree behind me, and it was a screech owl.
Screech owls. Yep. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to get through all this hunting safety stuff. I mean, I don't start know. It off. You want to try it?
Yeah, you try it.
Oh, I want to do something. No, let's don't. Because I want to address something that was floating around social media. And these days, there's all sorts of stuff floating around social media. And if it's on social media, a lot of people think, oh, well, it's the law. You know, it's what you're supposed to do. And it sounded good at the time. And here's what it was. It was for hikers. If you're ever lost while hiking, get stranded with a broken down car, et cetera, and you notice your cell phone is either low on juice or has no signal, here's a tip that may very well save your life. And I mean, you know, start out with that. It's like, okay. And it says, listen to this and think about it. Change the voicemail on your phone to a message that gives your approximate location, time, date, situation, you know, lost, out of gas, car broken down, injured, and any special instructions such as you are staying with the car, you're walking toward a town, etc. The best part of this is even if your cell phone dies or stops working, voicemail still works. So anyone calling your phone looking for you will hear the message and know where to find you or where to send help. Sounds really good. Doesn't it? Wrong. Reese rescuers explain why the viral post is a bad idea.
Oh, great.
Multiple rescuers said a viral post that says changing your voicemail if you get lost while hiking is bad advice and likely won't work. This is out of the Miami Herald by Maddie Capron. People are advising hikers to change their cell phone voicemail as they get lost, and rescuers are really concerned about it. Advice going around Facebook isn't a good idea. A post said if you're ever lost or stranded, you heard what it said to do. Mm-hmm. The idea is that even if your phone dies, your voicemail will still work. While the advice may not seem bad to the people who shared it, rescuers are very worried that this is bad advice people will follow. To be blunt, wasting time changing your voicemail could be the last thing you do. Said Halifax Research Search and Rescue Team in Canada said, if you don't call for help and you didn't leave a trip plan, nobody is coming to get you. You get that? If you don't call for help and you didn't leave a trip plan, nobody is coming to get you. Additionally, if you don't have service, you won't be able to change your voicemail anyway.
True.
Here's what authorities said you should do instead of spending time changing your voicemail. Excuse me there. Call 911. Rescuers said if your phone has little battery left, you should just call 911 and report the emergency. Even if there is little service, the call to 911 may go through. First, if you have no service, try call 911. Charlton Police Department of Massachusetts said federal law requires the nearest cell phone tower and carrier to transmit your call. Next is send a detailed text message. Other search and rescue teams said it takes less battery to send a text message than to use voice calling. The Skamania County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team in Washington said text can be delivered with only a fraction of the data and a weaker service signal than a voice call. You should send the text to your trusted contacts, the team said. The detail will make it easier for rescues to find you. Compose an SMS message. What's that? What's SMS?
I think it's...
Should look that up.
It's not iMessage or anything like that. Okay. I think it's just a regular like message, like the
text
green
message.
Ones that go
okay.
through.
Yeah. All right. To all your trusted contacts, it's text only, no images or attachments. Write where you are as best you can. Bonus points for GPS coordinates.
Bonus points.
Your condition and any info needed to locate you. Search and rescue officials could also try to connect with a lost hiker over text if they know their battery is low. Use settings to save battery. This is one I live off of a lot of times. Officials said it's a good idea to turn off your Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, when you're not actively using it to save power. You should also turn your phone on airplane mode.
Yep.
I use the battery save a lot. Stay off your phone except to speak with police. And don't call your friends and family while you're waiting for rescue. The biggest one they say is stay in one place.
Yes.
The same Skamania. I don't know. Skamania County Search and Rescue Team said you should always. Y'all practice that. Next time we're going to have a quiz on it.
Okay.
It said you should always stay with your car on a road or trail if you're lost. It is far easier for a hasty team to locate a vehicle on a road or trail than to locate a person that's gone off into the brush.
Yep.
Is that it? So, no, wait a minute. There should be another page here. That's first page. Wait a minute. What happened here? No, that's it. Okay, that is. That's the last I remember now. Okay. It ended kind of abruptly, which it did. So anyway, stay in one place. Mm-hmm. It is. It's easier for them to find you than for the two of you to find each other crashing through the brush or whatever.
Yep.
Which brings us back to stay on the trail.
Yeah.
When you're hiking, stay on the trail. Mm-hmm. Stay on the trail. Uncle Paul and those were out in Colorado doing a 14,000-foot peak hiking, and there was a guy that came by, and he does it like a few days a week, runs to 14,000 feet.
Heck no. Heck no.
Because he's part of the association that keeps up with all the trails on the 14,000-footers in Colorado. So this is like what he does for fun. Goes out and runs.
Fun.
Yeah, runs a 14,000-foot peak. But he said out there that people getting off the trail caused 35 years worth of damage to the environment.
Just wow.
One. So take that for what it's worth. Around here, it's probably not that much. But
no, yeah.
You do run into erosion problems, and you know, the trails are maintained. When you get off those trails in unmaintained areas, you can cause problems, yeah. Which goes back to leave no trace principles, mm-hmm. Which we don't have time to get into because we didn't even get time to get into the hunting safety, which we'll have to do next week. But we got backup guests and all for the next month and a half before Christmas. So
that'll be fun.
We don't know what we're going to get to in the next couple weeks. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
Today was kind of fun.
Today was fun.
Kind of off just the wall. And yeah. Like I said, I hope y'all laughed with us or at us. It makes no difference. We're just here to have fun. And,
yeah, we are.
And get you outdoors. So anyway, go out with traditional music. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget the camera or the binoculars this time of the year. We'll see you back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Yes, I'm gone to Carolina.